This morning, I join with millions around the world to wish one and to wish all a very happy and most blessed Christmas Day. The Christian community as a whole may be divided on the issues as to when Christ was born. Was it November, December, January, or some other month? We may be divided on whether or not the trappings of a pagan cultural past has any relevance to the birth of Jesus Christ. I am talking here about such pagan trappings like the Christmas tree, the holly and the ivies, Santa Claus, and let us not forget the gluttony, drunkenness, and revelry that comes with this season. One thing, however, that all Christendom agrees on is the understanding that Christ indeed has been born. Glory be to God. Isaiah records in chapter 6, verse 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his kingdom and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore." Over the past weeks, I have been looking at the four major themes of Advent. Today, I wish to focus on the theme of love. Love is the most comprehensive, the most overarching of the themes of Advent. It is love that gives rise to hope. Peace is inspired by love, and joy rises to its highest expression in the face of true love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul tells us that without this divine, supernatural love, we are nothing. No matter how many gifts we have, no matter how many wonderful things we have done, if love is not the motive behind what we do, then it really does not matter in the grand scheme of things. Today's text is taken from the book of St. John. John chapter 3, verse 16. This passage is regarded by many as the most familiar verse of the entire Bible. John 3, 16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but shall have everlasting life." The first thing I take away from this verse is the real reason why Christ was born. Christ was not born into this world to give us an opportunity to clean up and to decorate our homes. Christ was not born into this world so we can give and receive gifts. Christ was not born into this world so the merchants can make plenty money and we can drink and get drunk and make merry. No, 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 beloved. Christ was sent into this world because a loving God wanted to restore, wanted to reconcile, wanted to repair a broken relationship. A relationship that existed between God himself and humanity. Christ therefore came into this world as an instrument of God's love. It is interesting that last week I spoke about being an instrument of peace. And now today, on this Christmas morning, here I speak to you about Christ being an instrument of love. Blessed be to God. This verse not only gives us the reason why Christ came, but further gives us some insights into the depths of the love of God for all human beings. John records, He gave His only begotten Son. He sent His one and only Son into this world, not to become a superstar, not to be a worker of miracles. He did not send Him to be a highly moral person that can be admired. He did not send Him to be a great teacher or master. While He may have been all these things, His real mission in being born to this world was to reverse the sinful works of Satan and to restore humanity's fellowship with God Himself. He was born to die our Savior and our Redeemer. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 tells us, The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 tells us, But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. How many of us today, in the hearing of my voice, who may be blessed with as many as 5 children, will be willing to give one child for a best friend? God did not send Christ into the world to die for the righteous or obedient. God sent His Son to this world to die for wretched sinners. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 tells us, But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, reads, This is how God's love was revealed among us. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And love consists in this, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The same world that Christ came into to be a Savior is the same world that John records in John 1:10, when he says He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. The Bible reveals 2 ideas connected to the word world. On one hand, the world is understood to be the global world where all humanity dwells. This world is inclusive of land, sea, and sky. The scriptures also reveal a world that is spiritual in nature, a system of beliefs, ideas, philosophies that run counter and that stands in diametrical opposition to God. Another word for this spiritual world is the word age. In John 12:31, Satan is presented as the god of this world or of this age. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17 warns us about associating with this world. It states, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It is this wicked, perverse, disobedient, disrespectful world that God sent his son, born of a woman, to die for, sent his son to be the savior of. In 1 John 3 and 1 states, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." That is why I love that beautiful song. It says, the love of God, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty peer bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. The third stanza says, to write of the love of God would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. John 3:16 thus tells us that God's love for us is the real reason Christ came. It also revealed the scope or the extent of his love. God was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice of his son in order to restore the broken relationship that existed between God and man. One of the well-known hymns puts it this way, that God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss, nor rest till he had planned to bring me nigh. How wonderful is love like this, such love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. Beloved, let me say to you this morning, love is not the exclusive domain of God. We are commanded to love others in the same way that God has loved us. In 1 John chapter 3 and chapters 4, these two chapters seek to show the connection between God's love for lost humanity and our love for each other. In 1 John 4, it tells us, 10 and 11, it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man have seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. The 12th verse actually suggests to us that while God cannot be physically seen, when we love others, we make God become visible and make him become present. Love is not only an attribute and a characteristic of God. Love also is intended to be an attribute and a characteristic of all those who embrace the way of God. God's love is reconciliatory in nature. God's love in our hearts challenges us to seize opportunities to restore and to repair broken relationships. It's for the reason of restoring a broken relationship that Christ was born into this world. On this Christmas morning, God wants us to be honest about the broken relationships in our lives, relationships between family members, between brothers and brothers, and brothers and sisters, and sisters and sisters, husbands and wives, between neighbors, between friends, between work colleagues, between brothers and sisters in the Christ. Yes, please, in the church. This special love of God compels us not to wait for the other person to take the initiative, to make the first move to restore the relationship, but to accept the responsibility, to be willing to take the risk of rejection, take the risk of humiliation in order to repair the relationship. Very often, beloved, very often the thing that holds us back is pride. So what if they feel that we were right and they were wrong? So what if it makes them feel they are more important than you do? What you do because of love, because it is what God would want for you to do. I challenge a child this morning, in the spirit of Advent, in the spirit of Christ, to pick up that phone. Call your father, your mother, call a sister or a brother. You one that you would not have spoken to for some time. One that perhaps you have said, I done with you. It might be a parent having to call your child as well to say, I know that you have hurt me, but I choose today to forgive you. Pick up that phone. Reach out to a friend you have been disappointed with, you felt betrayed by. Pick up that phone and let them know you have forgiven them. I challenge you, husband. I challenge you, wife. I challenge you, best friend, today. God calls you to administer love instead of hate, forgiveness instead of bitterness and resentment. Oh, yes, you can send a bunch of flowers. You can send a text message. You can invite someone over for lunch. There are so many ways today that you can look to reach out. Perhaps it has nothing to do with family, but maybe it's just an old fella in the community, a lady who lives all by herself, who has to spend this Christmas day alone. What love it would be to reach out and say, hey, you can have lunch with me today. Have lunch with my family. What about that individual who sleeps on the roadside? Today is a day in which we can reach out. Take a meal for them somewhere. Pause in all of your activity and administer love. Blessed be the God. The scripture tells us in John 3:16, God so loved that he gave. Love, for the most part, is an action word. It must be seen rather than heard. It is not just extended to those who are deserving of the love, but is given even to those who are undeserving of it. It therefore is administered not on the basis of emotions, but on the basis of worth and need. 1 John 3:18-17 tells us, if anyone with earthly possession sees his brother in need, but withholds his compassion from him, how then can the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us love, not in word and speech, but in action and in truth. Most of us decide we can't love. We can't love someone we don't like. We can't love someone we don't agree with their ways. We can't love someone that hurt us, bad talk us, tell lies on us. Yet Christ in Matthew chapter 5, in speaking of this love, commands us to do the very thing. In this passage he says, ye have heard that it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, and say all manner of things against you falsely." God never waited until we became good to love us. The scripture that we would have already read reminded us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is no true love, beloved, that does not result in sacrificial giving. Most giving that is offered at Christmas is mere tokenism. We give gifts to receive gifts, and sometimes become highly offended when we spend much on a gift and receive a gift less expensive. When we give only as an act of tradition, but it does not come from our hearts, that is mere tokenism. God wants us to love in deed and in truth. Most of us decide we can't love someone who we don't like. Oh yes. But in Matthew says, "Love your enemies and bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you." Bless the Lord. True love does not take into consideration the cost of the gift, but the need and the worth of the receiver of the gift. In Matthew chapter 26, we see the love of a woman, Mary, motivating her to broke her expensive alabaster box of perfume to wash Jesus' feet with it. Christ's worth to her exceeded greatly the worth of the expensive perfume and all the perfume in the world. It was love that motivated the Good Samaritan, the story found in Luke chapter 10. It motivated him to stop and to assist the Jewish man who was robbed and beaten by bandits. Even though the Jews treated the Samaritans like second-class citizens and wanted nothing to do with them, the love of this Samaritan man caused him to ignore racial prejudices, religious division, and past injustices, and help him to see a fellow human being in deep distress. He did not just do enough to fulfill any kind of duty. Love moved him to sacrifice, to go above and beyond the call of duty, and to ensure the wounded Jew was well cared for. If there is one thing God challenges us to seek to do today, is to become an instrument of love. To reach out to someone today, someone who is in need of genuine love, genuine care, and genuine compassion. It does not matter if you think the person deserves it or not. That is not the issue. What matters is how we can help them to see God in the midst of their situation and circumstance. Remember, when we love, we make visible and make present God in the midst of people. We are called to be the lights of the world and the salt of the earth. We are the people who are instruments of hope, instruments of peace, instruments of joy, and instruments of love. God wants us today to take the initiative, take the first step towards the restoring of broken and rocky relationships. Just do the godly thing, then stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Blessed be the God. This morning, we give God thanks and give God praise on this Christmas day. This program was brought to you by the Church of the Nazarene and the kind compliments of Federal Motor Spears. Federal Motor Spears is located on the Bank Hall Crossroads and is there to meet all of your motoring needs. For those of you who are not already committed to a church, The Liberty Church of the Nazarene, located at Rouen Road, Belgully, invites you to fellowship with them in their special Watch Night service. The service begins at 8 o'clock p.m. and is expected to finish around 10 o'clock p.m. Come join us as we offer thanks to God for keeping us over the past year, and as we trust Him for health, for wealth, and success in the coming year, 2023. On behalf of our district superintendent, the Reverend Dr. Martel Fardy, the advisory board, our pastors, and the wider church family, I do wish all of you a very happy and blessed Christmas and a prosperous new year. May God bless you. Divine Father, today we thank you for this time spent. We ask, O God, on this Christmas day, that we will experience the joys of Advent. May we experience peace, experience hope. May we experience your love today. Every household, every soul may receive it in the precious name of Jesus. May you bless us, Lord, today. Amen and amen. Because